You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 24th of February 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. What a time Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson picked to take 2 weeks holiday. Probably the most important time that his view would be very, very much welcomed in the last 10 years, I guess, considering Russia is his area of expertise. I look forward to hearing what he has to say about it in a week's time. I think it is going to be 2 weeks time, actually, when we will next be hearing from him. I mean, it's just what a bizarre coincidence that all of this happens just as he's taking 2 weeks off. But I guess, again, I should be talking about this today, because that is the main news. Everywhere is talking about what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. In the early hours this morning, 6 o'clock Russian time, 8 o'clock our time, the Russian forces moved into Ukraine essentially to neutralize the threat towards Russia. And this is something that we're not hearing about on the mainstream media, on the Western media. Ukraine have continually made threats towards Russia. They view Crimea as still being a part of Ukraine. So when they say, we want to take Crimea back, we're going to take Crimea back to Russia, that is them saying, we're going to invade Russia. We're going to invade Russia and we're going to take a part of Russia for Ukraine. Now, Crimea has belonged to Russia since the 1800s. Before that, it was part of the Ottoman Empire. The people that live there have lived there for centuries. They have history there. And Russia had its main naval base there in Sevastopol. It's the main naval base for the whole of Russia was in Crimea. So when the West orchestrated the coup d'etat that took place in 2014 to take over the country, Russia had to secure their naval base. It's just incredible that the West could think that they could just take over the Ukraine and then take over Russia's naval base as well. I mean, the naval base was there because it was seen as being a part of Russia. Under the Soviet Union, for administrative reasons, they put Crimea under the control of Ukraine, and it always had a separate autonomous caveat to that. It was always seen as an autonomous zone. And the Crimeans held a vote, and over 90% of them said that they would rather join with Russia again rather than be a part of Ukraine, because Ukraine was now going to be run by these puppets from the West, Petro Poroshenko and Arseniy Yatsenyuk, put into power by the West, hand-picked by Victoria Nuland. I mean, she's on record as saying that they hand-picked all the people that they were going to put in government over the Ukraine. The Ukraine government is just a puppet state. So Crimea is seen as a part of Russia. They've built a bridge to the Crimea. There was a huge increase in wages and salaries and pensions once Crimea had joined up with Russia. Straight away, the Ukraine cut off all the water, which is a human rights abuse. They've done the same to Luhansk and Donetsk. They cut off all the water and they cut off all the electric to those parts of the country. So they basically mistreated the people that were in Crimea anyway, and they by saying that they're going to take Crimea back, they're essentially saying we're going to invade Russia. And this comes on top of them banning the use of the Russian language, all this anti-Russia rhetoric that they have been coming out with. And the West has been arming Ukraine with up-to-date modern weapons technology. Up until the fall of the Soviet Union, Ukraine didn't have its own army or anything like that. It was a part of the Soviet Union. And Russia can't have people on their borders talking about how they're going to invade Russia, how they hate Russians, how they're going to ban people from speaking Russian and want to kill Russians, and being armed with weapons that can take out Russians, basically. So this is why they've gone in. This is why they've gone in there, and they've taken out the military installations. They've taken out the areas that Ukraine could have used to attack Russia with. And I mean, it's quite reasonable to do that, considering that's what Ukraine has been talking about. We keep being told over here in the West that Russia is the aggressor here. And it's not Russia that is the aggressor. It's Ukraine that is being used as a puppet aggressor for the West. It's very clear when you look at the rhetoric that the Ukrainians have come out with. Now, they're also being told over here, well, Putin said that the Minsk Accords don't exist, as if Putin's the one that has broken the Minsk Accords. Putin's been waiting for the last few years for the Minsk Accords to actually be put into practice, and they weren't. Ukraine broke all the Minsk Accords. One of the Minsk Accords was that Donetsk and Luhansk would be given autonomous status. They would remain a part of the Ukraine, but they would have the right to make their own laws and to have friendly relations with Russia. And that was part of the Minsk Accords, and there was also supposed to be a ceasefire. Well, Ukraine has refused to honour them. They refused to go ahead and make them into these autonomous regions, which essentially would have been the same rights, I think, that Crimea had originally before Crimea voted to join up with Russia. So Putin's been waiting for Ukraine to carry out these Minsk Accords. He's been saying to Washington, you need to put pressure on Ukraine to honour their side of the agreement, because we've honoured our side of the agreement. And instead of doing that, Washington put pressure on Ukraine to ramp up the rhetoric, talk about how they want to invade Russia and take Crimea back and invade these republics. And the republics themselves, once they said, well, we want to be autonomous, we don't agree with what you're doing in Kiev, again, they cut off all the electric to them, they cut off all the water supplies to them, and Russia has had to provide water and electric to these republics, which is why they've been talking about them as Russian-backed separatists, as if Russia is arming them or sending them in to attack Ukraine. Russia's just been providing humanitarian aid to them, basically, up until now, of course. And now, because these Minsk Accords have not been honoured, because the West has refused to even properly acknowledge the genuine concerns that Russia has about having NATO on its doorstep like that, Putin has said, well, are going to have to go in there and we're going to have to take out these missile offences that are pointed at Russia, and we're going to take them out. He said this is not an invasion. He's not going to occupy Ukraine, but he is going to neutralise all their weapons so that they cannot be used against Russia. So that is the main part of it. And he explained all of this in a speech that he gave this morning. And he explained what was going on in a speech the other day. And the Western media has portrayed that as Putin the madman, making delirious ramblings of a madman. And if you listen to it, it makes perfect sense. It's completely logical what he is talking about. And he points out that the puppet government in Kiev is a criminal regime, basically. It's all oligarchs over there. The leader of the country is a stand-up comedian who was playing a role of the president of Ukraine in a comedy TV series. And to actually take part in the elections over there, you have to have, I forget what the amount was, $5 million or the equivalent of that. before you can even start to take part in the elections. So you have to be an oligarch before people can even vote for you. We're being told that Putin is a dictator. Well, they have voting, they have elections in Russia, and the people vote for Putin because he's done great things for Russia. He got rid of the oligarchs, which the West has never forgiven him for. He's raised the standard of living. He promotes the church. He promotes traditional values, and he will not allow these Western liberal degenerate values to take a hold in Russia. And that's why the West goes after him. And the fact is, I mean, if you have somebody that is a really good leader of your country, why would you want to vote them out and put somebody else in there? I mean, we talk as if our liberal democracy is so wonderful. We end up with new people leading the democracy every 5 years. How are you going to get good at doing your job if you're constantly being swapped from one place to another? And we see people that lead ministries like the Ministry of Education or the Ministry of Employment. They just swap these people around, or the Ministry of Prisons. And there'll be one person leading that ministry for a year or two, and then they'll get moved to leading another ministry. And they're never people that have actually learned their profession in that particular area of expertise. I can remember being shocked at this years ago when the Labour Party made somebody who had been a postman all his life, and they made him the leader of I think they made him into a Home Secretary or something like that, in charge of the police. And I thought, well, what is being a postman? How does that qualify you to being Home Secretary? It doesn't. And if you look at Russia, they've had the same foreign secretary for the last 20 or 30 years. He's going to be an absolute expert at doing his job, and he is. That's Sergei Lavrov. And he's a serious man, and he's seriously good at his job. And who have we got? Who is his equal in Britain? Well, we have Liz Truss, who has no idea about history, no idea about what goes on in these foreign countries. It seems to me that the liberal democracies of the West, the way that they work, is to accuse other countries of doing what you yourself are doing, and to show no concern whatsoever for your own people, because, of course, that could then be used as a weakness against you. I mean, it's just so the opposite of the way that things should be when you think about it. I mean, it's okay to have people voting for who you think is the best at the job, and that was what they had in Athens, but it was all Athenians that were voting on that. You can't bring in different ethnicities and have their votes all counting the same, because the different ethnicities are going to have different interests. You're going to have a conflict of interests there. When you have a democracy and it's a homogenous group, that the whole idea is that you come to an agreement on things. You try to persuade the other side of what is the right way to do things, and you get them to agree. But we have a conflict of interests when you have two different ethnicities or more ethnicities in one territory. So you cannot get people to agree on things, and you end up with a fractured society, which is what we have here. And this is essentially the West trying to force this idea of liberal democracy on the rest of the world. And within Russia's sphere of influence, they don't have that. They have sovereignty and they have traditionalism. And Putin doesn't seek to force the ways that Russia does things onto the countries that he is allied with. I mean, Iran doesn't do things in the same way as Russia does. Iran is an Islamic country, and Russia is an Orthodox Christian country, and yet they are allied together. Again, China is allied with Russia. China doesn't do things in the same way that Russia does. I think China is an atheistic country, and it's an ethnically homogenous country. It's an ethnostate over there. And this, bringing up China there, of course, because of the close relationship that there is between China and Russia, these sanctions that they're going to put on Russia are really not going to harm Russia at all. They're going to harm the West, It's going to put up the prices of gas and oil. But ever since they first started putting these sanctions on Russia, what it meant was that they had to become self-sufficient. They had to produce everything that they needed for themselves. And Russia is such a massive size. It has huge gold reserves, huge oil reserves, gas reserves, coal reserves, forests in Siberia. I mean, the Russian Federation can really provide everything that it needs for itself. And now it has this close relationship with China. Of course, they can do trade with China. They don't need to be doing trade with America or with the EU, and they will get along just fine. So these sanctions aren't going to work. So this was the reason that Putin gave for going into Ukraine. The first reason was to demilitarize the country. And I think they started with the Donbass region. Because outside of the Donbass region, you had the Ukrainian army that were shelling Donetsk and Luhansk. They were aggressing against the Russians there. It wasn't the Russians that were aggressing against them. I actually saw the leader of the Luhansk Republic that was on RT this morning. And he was talking about how their ancestors held this land and they want their traditions. And traditionally, they've always been close to Russia, and they do not want to be enemies with Russia. And you could see that he was a patriot and he was a nationalist, and he wanted his best for the people of the Donbass, and he didn't want to have bad relations with Ukraine. You say we want to be friends with Ukraine and the Ukrainians, and we do not understand all this bad feeling and why they are bombing us, just because we don't want to fall out with Russia. We are Russian speakers. And when Putin talks about there being a genocide and he's trying to prevent a genocide, that's what he's talking about, because it is a part of genocide if you stop people from being able to speak their natural language and you try to take away their culture and their traditions. That is a part of the UN definition of genocide. And of course, I spoke about that earlier this week and how that was very similar to what went on in Danzig at the start of World War II, when the Germans were banned from speaking German in Danzig, and they were banned from teaching their children that. And then after that, things accelerated to Germans being shot and tortured and killed, and tens of thousands of them had to go over the border and seek refuge in Germany, which is why Hitler went into Poland. It was to solve the Danzig question. And now we see exactly the same thing happening in Ukraine. We see the Russians being banned from speaking Russian. We see that Ukraine has shut off their water, shut off their electricity. And then we see that Putin, after waiting 8 years for Ukraine to see sense, finally recognizes those two republics as republics. They invite Russia in to keep the peace. And once they are in, they tell Russia about the military installations that are out there, that are pointed at Russia. And obviously they want protecting from it. And I think Russia has the right to take out hostile aggressors that are right on their border. And it's not like they've killed loads of people. When I was watching the news reports this morning, that said that there have been reports of 9 injuries so far. I mean, there are more injuries at pop concerts than there have been with this so-called invasion. Now, the second part of what Putin was talking about, he said he wanted to denazify Ukraine. And nationalists that aren't really aware of what is going on here look at that and think, well, what is he talking about there? What does he mean by the word Nazi? And for that, we have to look at the history of Russia. Now, whether Hitler was right or wrong to go into Russia, Operation Barbarossa did go into Russia, and Germany was the aggressor in that. And there were many, many Russians killed. I forget how many, could be a million. A lot of them were starved as well. In the siege, the various sieges that took place, I mean, it was a horrific, bitter war that was waged between the two. And when the Soviet Union fell, this war became a part of the founding mythology of Russia. They refer to it as the Great Patriotic War. and they have celebrations of the end of the war every year. And because of that, the word Nazi has become associated with anybody who wants to kill Russians. Now, as nationalists, we know that Hitler wanted to go into Russia because he saw the threat that the Soviet Union posed to the rest of Europe. And when he did go in there, he found that Stalin had amassed all these tanks and all the armies were poised to invade Europe. In actual fact, that's why Hitler had so much success at first, was because Stalin was poised to invade Europe. So Hitler's move into Russia was a preemptive strike, and it did do what it was supposed to do. It did prevent Stalin from moving in and taking Western Europe whilst the whole continent was at war against Germany. But Hitler lost, and a lot of Russians lost their lives, and therefore the myth today is that anybody that wants to kill Russians is a Nazi. So when Putin says he wants to de-Nazify Ukraine, what he is talking about is the people that want to kill Russians. And who are the people that want to kill Russians? Well, you have the Azov Battalion, you have the Misanthropic Division, which are these neo-Nazi groups, which are funded by the West, and they're also funded by Israel. And this is the really bizarre thing. You've got Israelis that are funding these neo-Nazi groups that are not about National Socialism. They're just about attacking Russia because they see Russia as if it is still the Soviet Union. And Ukraine does have a genuine grievance against the Soviet Union, but just the same as all the members of the Soviet Union do. I mean, all the members of the Soviet Union were starved and tortured and sent to the gulags, but Ukraine in particular because of the Holodomor, where there were 7 to 11 million people were starved to death. So they have this grudge against the Soviet Union, and the West has encouraged them to see Russia as the Soviet Union and to see today's Russia and the people that are in the administration in Russia as if they are the successors to the Soviet Union, and a righteous revenge for the starving of the Ukrainians would be to attack Russia. So you have this mentality in these battalions, the Azov Battalion and the Misanthropic Division. And what the West has been doing is giving them up-to-date weapons. And they've been the ones that have been attacking Donetsk and Luhansk. So when Putin says he wants to de-Nazify the Ukraine, what he's talking about is getting rid of these groups, because he links the word Nazi with being anti-Russia. Of course, if you're a genuine nationalist or a genuine national socialist, then you won't be against Russia at all. You would probably see the positive things that Russia has done for its people and the way that it supports traditionalism and is against degeneracy as actually being in tune with national socialism. And also the way that Putin shows so much concern for the Russian people. I mean, he does put the Russian people first. This is the reason why Russia has gone into Donetsk and Luhansk, is to protect the people there. I mean, clearly, economically, they would have been better off not doing that because they wanted to have the Nord Stream 2 pipeline going. But the lives of the Russian people are worth more than the rubles that would be coming in from that. And I do think that that is at the root of this. America did not want that Nord Stream pipeline to take off. They did not want Germany to be getting their gas from Russia, although I don't know where they think Germany's going to be able to get that gas from. America says that they can send this liquefied gas by boat to Germany, but the liquefied gas is required in Asia. Germany needs to be getting its gas from somewhere, and they wanted to be getting it from Russia on this Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And Russia had said, well, there's nothing political about this. This is just a pure business transaction. But America really did not want this. And I think they knew the way that they could get that Nord Stream 2 pipeline stopped was to provoke Putin into moving into Ukraine to protect the Russian speakers there. I mean, we'll have to wait and see whether he goes all the way into Kiev and deposes the puppet government, but really he'd have every right to do that, because the government that were there before, the legitimately elected government, were taken down by violence in a coup d'etat that was not supported by the majority of Ukraine. And they weren't happy with the government that they had, but did they want to be ruled by Washington? And this is another part of the hypocrisy here. The West talks about the sovereignty of Ukraine and its inviolable sovereignty, but it's ruled from America. It's ruled by Washington. All the people that are put in charge there have been chosen by Washington and by these think tanks. And that's all been admitted. And of course, once they were in power, they started repeating the West's rhetoric of anti-Putin. Putin is a madman, wanting to attack Russia, who are their neighbours. And Ukraine itself, it just means the borderland. It means the borderland of Russia. Kiev, the capital of Ukraine, is where the Russians actually get their name from. If you look in the history books, you will read about the Kievan Rus, which basically meant the Russians from Kiev. That's where the Russians originated from. That was one of the oldest cities that they built before they built Moscow. I mean, that whole area was Russian. And then over time, you end up with languages evolving. You end up with groups being in different areas, and they differ slightly, and they get slightly different cultures. And Ukraine has a slightly different language to Russian. Maybe it would be the equivalent of the different dialects that you get in Britain, more so than the sort of big differences that you get between Welsh and English. But essentially, it's always been a part of Russia. Now, if Ukraine hadn't pushed this situation and hadn't aggressed in this situation and talked about invading Russia, which of course they refer to as taking Crimea back, but which is basically talking about invading Russia, a political solution could have been come to. I mean, I've seen it pointed out that a similar situation happened in Finland. And basically what happened was the part of Finland that had the Russian speakers, that went to Russia. And the part of Finland that had the Finnish speakers, that stayed with Finland. And they had a big war over this, the Winter War, where they actually forced Russia to back down. I mean, quite incredible, really, when you think of the size of Finland and the size of the Soviet Union, because it was the Soviet Union then rather than Russia. And you got that same situation now. You've had all this bellicose bravado from the Ukrainians talking about how they're going to take on Russia and Russia the aggressor, when Russia has not been aggressing towards Ukraine at all. The threats have all been coming from Ukraine. And now we hear that when the Russians came in over the border, the Ukrainian border guards just stood down and welcomed them in. And we did a podcast a couple of weeks back, myself, with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson, and the intelligence that he was getting was saying that the Ukrainians would rather be allied with Russia. And it's only the people that are in Kiev that support this puppet government. And then you've got nationalist types who support this puppet government. And then you've got the neo-Nazi types that support the puppet government. And the nationalist types support it because they see that all the imagery that they like from the National Socialist imagery is being used. But it's not National Socialist ideology. I mean, they may use this imagery, but they certainly don't have the ideology if they're just going after their brother nation of Russia because they're Russians and they hate them. I mean, National Socialism was about unity between the different nations of the white race. So what you have here is one group of white people in Azov Battalion wanting to attack another group of white people in Donetsk. And the Donetsk people are very nationalist and very patriotic, and they're talking about the blood and soil, essentially. And yet you've got this Azov Battalion that want to kill them because they're Russian. I mean, it's a real mess, the situation that we have. And things are changing by the minute, but it does look like Russia has achieved its objective. It's neutralized the military installations. I suspect that the Jewish comedian that is the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, I suspect that he's probably already in Poland rather similar to the puppet Afghan president that fled Afghanistan when the Taliban took their country back. I suspect he's done a similar thing in Ukraine, but we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But it does look as if the military installations have been taken out at lightning speed. It does look as if there hasn't been any bloodshed. As I say earlier this morning, they said there were 9 injuries. I don't know if there have been any deaths at all. And I think the Russians have rounded up this Azov battalion, because I think that was one of their main concerns, that this group that were had this vehement hatred for Russians were being given state-of-the-art weapons by NATO. So we will have to keep following this, obviously. I hope that's given listeners a bit more of a rounded idea of what is going on and what is being hidden from us in the Western media. And I'll just finish up by saying Putin, although he has done some things which we would approve of, such as banning the promotion of homosexuality to children, he does lock up white nationalists. Not so much nationalists that are patriotic and love Russia and love the Russian people, but people that are specifically national socialist. And again, the reason for that is because the national socialists invaded Russia. So it's rather like supporting your enemies rather than it being an ideology thing, because in a lot of ways, Russia has sort of national socialist policies, the same as China has national socialist policies. But because these people are identifying with the Nazis and the Nazis tried to invade and kill Russians, then they're seen as being traitors. And I think that's more the reason for it, rather than Putin being against the national socialist ideology. And people will say, well, Russia has also banned so-called Holocaust denial. And they made a law that you couldn't defame the Russians in the war, basically. You couldn't say that the Red Army did terrible things in the war. And this was challenged in the court. And a Jewish advocacy group went after a historical revisionist who was pointing out that there weren't any gas chambers in the camps and that the numbers that we were given do not add up. And he was taken to court, and the judge found in the court that this law was there to prevent defamation of Russia, basically. It was not there to prevent historical inquiry. And the historical revisionist was found innocent. So the interpretation of that law is not that you cannot investigate World War II and provide alternative evidence to the stuff that we've already seen. The reason for that law being there is to prevent people lying. If you can prove that what you're saying is correct, then that law is not in place to silence you. So there are good things about Putin. There are bad things about Putin. RAC musicians have been locked up and prevented from playing, which is obviously a very bad thing. And I dare say, if you live in Russia, you probably look at Putin and you don't see the good side to him. You don't see the positive sides to him, in the same way that over here in Britain, we criticize our politicians all the time and don't really see the good sides to them. And I interviewed somebody in Hungary, and he was very anti-Viktor Orban. And yet I look at what Viktor Orban does, and I think a lot of what he does is excellent. So I do think Putin has genuine reasons for what he has done going into Ukraine. I think they are logical. I think they are reasonable. And I think it really sort of highlights how ridiculous our own politicians are and why they seek to have such a hold over the media and the information that comes out, because their narrative is so far off the reality on the ground that they just cannot afford to have people pointing out what's really going on the ground, because then their narrative just appears to be so completely illogical. I mean, their narrative is, oh, Putin is a madman, he's delirious, that's why he's invaded Ukraine. Well, the truth of the matter is, Russia has taken out the military installations that were pointing weapons at Russia, and they've gone after the people that were saying they wanted to kill Russians and invade Russia. And that is a more accurate portrayal of what is going on, I think. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.